You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios for hour number two, local, state, and national, man. We cover all the issues, and like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. All right, well, we're staying with the same topic, but we're bringing somebody in to discourse with us a little bit about it. Former Congressman Mo Brooks represented the North Alabama area as in Congressional District 5 for a number of years. He has served in the state legislature. He also served as a district attorney in Madison County. And he's got thoughts and opinions on what's going on with this situation with the Trump indictment in Georgia. And so without further ado, let me just bring him on. Congressman Brooks, how you doing, sir?
Doing great, Phil. How about yourself?
I'm good, sir. I'm good. Listen, I mean, I think right out the gate, it's kind of fair to say no love lost between you and Trump right now, but I think that makes your commentary about what's happening in Georgia maybe a little more pure, because you don't cotton to the way this indictment came down.
Not at all. It violates the Supremacy Clause of the United States Constitution, in my judgment, i.e. federal law is supreme to state law. And in the federal law, you've got the United States Constitution with the First Amendment freedom of speech, with all the cases that have interpreted what that means and what it takes to invoke that protection. You've also got in the First Amendment the right to petition your government for redress of your grievances and what all that means, and a number of other things. And quite frankly, it looks like you've got a rogue district attorney in the city of Atlanta who is operating with bad intent for partisan political gain for the Democratic Party.
Yeah, I would heartily agree with that assessment. And I saw yesterday, I think it is, that Mark Meadows, who I know you know personally, he filed a notice of removal to federal court, which I would think would have some merit. I mean, you can notice something to be removed from federal court as a matter of right. The court can choose to hand it back or remand it, but I think these things may wind up being moved out of that jurisdiction anyway. What do you think?
I sure hope so. I do know Mark Meadows personally. He and I, we were founders of the House Freedom Caucus. He was once the chair of the House Freedom Caucus. He was also the White House Chief of Staff. And based on the indictment allegations, this rogue district attorney is bringing Mark Meadows under the cloud of an indictment based on his having followed his boss, President Donald Trump's, request for things like setting up a phone call, setting up a meeting. Please listen in and afterwards tell me what you think of what all was said during the conversation or during the meeting. That doesn't cut it. I just don't understand why Fannie Willis is this far out of line. But in my judgment, having been a district attorney, having been an assistant district attorney, and also having been on the criminal defense side, she is way off base, and all of this should be tossed out just as soon as a state court judge can get to it. Now, the problem is where it's located.
Yeah.
If you toss it out, you have to never be elected again as a judge in a Democratic county.
Well, that's true. All the more reason to maybe see it removed to federal court where the judges can serve for life for good cause. But truthfully, I don't know which federal district court judge could possibly get it, but the 11th Circuit, where it would appeal to thereafter, is fairly conservative.
It is, and the Supreme Court is moderate to conservative, depending on the issue. Unfortunately, on occasion, it's been quite liberal.
Yeah.
Going all the way back to when Obamacare was approved as a tax increase, of all things. So the Supreme Court kind of floats around. Right now it has a little bit more conservative bent, but I would hope that the federal judges would be aggressive in slapping this district attorney down and putting her back in the place that she is supposed to be, which is obeying the law, obeying the rules of ethics that govern all of us attorneys, and then operate in that kind of capacity. And I should emphasize, too, this is going to be a huge drain on the resources of the district attorney's office in Atlanta, Georgia. And that's resources now that will no longer be available to prosecute murderers, robbers, assaulters, rapists, and other criminals who pose a serious threat. They're going to have a lesser priority because so much of the district attorney's office powers and capabilities are going to be diverted to this partisan litigation involving roughly 20 defendants, one of whom happens to include Donald Trump. And think about it. You're a lawyer. What is the defense? Well, we had legitimate grounds for believing
absolutely
that there was voter fraud going on in the state of Georgia. Now, think about how many hundreds or thousands of witnesses there may be that form the basis for these opinions. How in the world are they going to try that in a week or 2 weeks or a month or 2 months or even a year? And what kind of strain is that going to be on the resources of the Atlanta District Attorney's Office?
And for background, can we not bring Stacey Abrams in and have her give account? The reality is, under this theory of law, these novel theories of law that are being presented by Fannie Willis, Stacey Abrams would have to plead the fifth if she was ever asked about, why she still believes that she should be governor of the state of Georgia. The whole thing is farcical. I tell you what, one more before we go to the next piece of this conversation about the possibility of impeachment. The also thing that bothers me is how Fannie Willis has chosen to indict a number of attorneys for simply zealously defending the interests of their client. And when that happens, when you can be tried as an attorney, not for breaking the law, but just for pursuing your client's interests in the manner in which the law allows you to do, that to me is an egregious overreach. And the very idea that she would do this as to her own profession is, to me, is just beyond the pale.
Well, it's just not within the limits of the law. As an attorney, you have a legal duty to zealously represent the interests of your client.
That's right.
So long as you do so in conformity with the law and the code of ethics. And it's a bizarre case. It really is. I've never seen anything like it. I litigated starting in 1978 all the way through 2010. That's over three decades of litigation in over 20 different jurisdictions and different states around the United States, plus, of course, in the state of Alabama. And this just doesn't cut the smell test.
No, not at all. Well, listen, one of the other weird aspects of this is, so one member of the Georgia State Senate, by the way, the Georgia legislature is the very first one to have had a state-level Freedom Caucus. I was there the night that they founded it. But a Georgia state senator has now called upon Governor Kemp to call them into special session for the purposes of examining Fannie Willis's behavior and seeing whether or not it rises to the level of impeachment. I did not see that coming, I'll be honest. I don't know that it has the ability to really move forward. But procedurally speaking, it's not something that's so out of the question that it can't be talked about. Your thoughts on that?
The citizenry has all sorts of options for reining in a rogue district attorney. You can file ethics complaints with a state bar to suspend or revoke the attorney's license, in which case no longer can be district attorney if you're not a practicing attorney. You can file all sorts of litigation at state or federal court along the lines of a writ of mandamus and other forms of relief against public officials. You can try to impeach. Now, in Georgia, it requires a majority of the House to impeach an individual, and the Republicans control the Georgia House, and then two-thirds of the Senate to convict. The Republicans have about 59% to 60% to convict. Before any of that can happen, though, you have to have a special session, and in Georgia, the governor can call a special session on his own without any other reason to give, just that he wants to. And this is different from Alabama. The legislature can also call a special session, but to do it, you need 60% of the Senate and 60% of the House to join in that call for the special session. And apparently one Georgia senator may have jumped the gun a little bit.
Yeah.
He sent out a letter that had a signature on it and said, we've got three-fifths of the House and three-fifths of the Senate, and we're calling a special session. And it was a notification to the governor. Well, now it comes out that it might be a sales pitch to try to get the three-fifths in the House and the Senate. Not that he's already got it, even though he's already signed the letter.
Well, I look at it. I think he got out ahead of his skis. I don't think he's not hitting a populist nerve. I mean, I think there are people that would love to see something like that happen. But he's also in the state that just, you know, elected Raphael Warnock, of all things. So I don't know that he can get there from here, is what I'm trying to say. But they can do so easier than they can in Alabama, where the governor alone can call the special session. If they really rallied up and leadership wanted to push this, they'd be on the margins of what it takes as Republicans to call this together.
Well, it's kind of iffy right now to engage in any of these actions against the district attorney.
Yeah.
But if, as you and I suspect, these things are tossed out for lack of probable cause or violation of federal law or what have you, or a jury acquits, then you've got the ammo to really hold this district attorney accountable for her rogue conduct.
And I would think that the more appropriate way to do that might even be just going through the Georgia State Bar or the Ethics Commission and see how that goes. But
well, that's what the Democrats and even the Rhino or two have done with me roughly 40 times, even though I wasn't licensed to practice law because I was a congressman. But it turns out the state bar still has jurisdiction. Fortunately, the state bar saw through all of these things as just a political hatchet jobs, and I was cleared every single time. But that's an example of how removing an elected official's license is a weapon of choice of Democrats, and perhaps Republicans, when there's merit to it, ought to use that same tool.
Well, and that's been the topic that I've covered here in the first part of the show, is what I call fighting back. Because I know that there are constituencies here in the Republican side of things that are just desperate to see somebody stand up and do something. And my point is, you can't take this lightly. You have to build a real case. We don't need to be a Nancy Pelosi-style impeachment process that just throws things together and just sees what sticks. But I do believe that there's a possibility of seeing things like Mayorkas and maybe even Secretary Granholm and, who knows, Joe Biden. I don't know that we'll ever get there on this situation in Georgia, but it's certainly a tool in the toolbox.
And the Republican House of Representatives ought to be exercising that power. Unfortunately, they have not shown the chutzpah to do it. And that's one of the reasons why we're getting rolled in Washington on a regular basis. And our victory seemed to be stopping the Democrats' advance rather than reversing it. And we need to start reversing some of the bad things that they're doing.
Agree with that. Congressman Mo Brooks, we appreciate your time. Thanks for bringing this to my attention last night late, and now here we are on the radio. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much. Have a blessed day.
Yes, sir. You too. All right, boom shakalaka. Let's take the break. We'll do that right now. We'll come back and take a few text messages and put a lid on this one. I'm just telling you, man, fighting back, yes, I agree. We got to. We need some. Let's build the cases. Let's do it. Let's do it right. But wow. Let's don't be a Nancy Pelosi style. I don't want to be labeled like that. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Yeah, making it cool to be a conservative. Hey, got to tell you, got several things laid on for next week. Looking pretty good as the week develops. U.S. Senator Katie Britt is scheduled to be on with us on Tuesday. And then we're going to have, I think it's State Senator Garland Gudger is confirmed to be coming in studio, I believe, on Friday. On top of that, we got Wednesday. I will be doing the show from Huntsville and then meeting up with all y'all who want to come out to Terry's Pizza on the Parkway that evening, Wednesday evening. Myself, Dale Jackson, and Yaffe will be doing a panel discussion related to the presidential primary debates for the Republicans. That's all on Wednesday night. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that, too, by the way. Just an opportunity to get out and see some of y'all. I hope you'll show up. It's gonna be a great night, and we're gonna have a watch party. We'll have the the thing going up on the screen. We can watch and see how the candidates do. My understanding right now is that Trump is not planning to be a part of the debate. I mean, on the one hand, I get it. On the other, I think, you know, you should go. But it would be the Trump show if he went. I mean, it's not like that he was going to wind up. But I guess they just don't want to take any chance of. Let me back up. I'll say this. I think that one of the worst things that Trump did in his last campaign, something that probably hurt his cause, to be honest, was the way he handled the debate with Joe Biden. He just totally lost his cool and went at it. Did Biden deserve it? Yeah, absolutely. But what happened was it lost the sense of the presidential. I mean, he lost the moment. He was seen as the guy who was lashing out. And I think he wound up hurting his cause that way. So the last thing you want to see is Trump come on right now and start lashing out. Of course, if he was there, it would be all the topic about how are you going to handle all your indictments? Will you pardon yourself? You know, and yada, yada, yada. You know, it would be. So I get why he's not going to be there. Anyway, that is this next Wednesday at Terry's Pizza on the Parkway. I believe we start at 6. I'll double check that, let you know for sure between now and then. But I'd love to see some of y'all there. In fact, what's really cool, like just earlier, Boomer and I were getting ready for the show. Amy from Rainbow City stopped in. You know, one of our listeners, she won one of our T-shirts, about 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's a regular listener to the show. And she happened to be around, and she came by. It was just cool to have people.
Hop on in. It was fun to meet her in person.
Which the crazy thing was, we found out you're related.
I know.
I was like, what?
I know.
She said, wait a minute. I'm so-and-so's third cousin. I'm like, wait, what? Y'all are, anyway, so yeah, Boomer had a cousin come by.
It was awesome.
It was. That's good. All right, we got plenty of stuff here. Let's see if we got any text messages. I'll take them real quick. Missy from Falkville says, Boomer, I told you, man. Is Boomer going to be at Terry's?
I wish.
And she says, does Dale have to be there? I'm not done with the Boomer question yet. We'll work this. We'll work on this.
Yeah. Well, we'll work something out.
We'll see what we can do. John from Huntsville. Boomer, I don't know that we can place orders for sound effects, but I would like 2 orders of Jack Asherie and 2 orders of Camels and a side of fries. Hit me some Jack Asherie when you get a chance there, bud. That's all good. Is that Brian on the phone right now?
Yeah.
All right, slap him on there. I got about 30 seconds. Brian from Huntsville. Hey, man, how are you?
Doing okay. Quick question.
Yeah.
There's a Terry's Pizza on Memorial Parkway now, or is this the one over across from Grissom on Bailey Cove?
Oh, shoot. You know what? I will double check, but I thought it said Parkway. I'm going to go find out for you, Brian, and I'll announce it after the break.
I don't think there's one. I think it's the other one. So otherwise, thanks for ruining my diet by making me go out there this Wednesday.
You better be there, man. You better be there. Awesome. All right.
Have a good one. Bye.
See you. Bye. Boomer, do we have time for a jackassery? We got it.
Hee-honk, hee-honk, hee-honk. I'll just do it. There you go.
All right, we're taking a break, and we're coming back with my favorite time of every single week. Boomer McQueen is coming up next, and it's going to be good. We'll be right back.